Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. People have been asking where they can access my book, More of the Holy Spirit. If you go online to renewalministries.net, renewalministries.net, no spaces, just those two words and .net, and then go to bookstore, you can order the book, More of the Holy Spirit. If you're here in the Michigan area, you can certainly get it at Our Lady of Grace bookstore. But I think for most of you listening, you'll need to go online and order it that way. I really do urge you to read it because there is so much that God wants to equip us for, and so much that he desires to give us so that we are equipped, and we try to eke it out on our own or try to be our best selves, and really there's more help from God than we can even imagine. And this book, More of the Holy Spirit, I think could be very helpful to you in some of the areas, especially as I've been talking this last week about the gift of faith and hope and love, how those are not just words. They really are realities of infinite gifts that God wants to bestow on us. So really urge you to, if you can, to take a look at my book, More of the Holy Spirit. Today, the first reading is taken from, again, the book of Revelation, because we're dealing again with the end times as we move toward the new year next Sunday, the new liturgical year, the new church year will begin next Sunday on the first Sunday of Advent. But today we look at the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verses 14 to 19. I repeat these because I really am urging you, when you're listening to this program, have a scripture with you, have the scripture with you, and read it with me. Book of Revelation. I, John, looked, and there was a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud, one who looked like a son of man, with a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Another angel came out of the temple, crying out in a loud voice to the one sitting on the cloud, "Use your sickle and reap the harvest, for the time to reap has come, because the earth's harvest is fully ripe." So the one who was sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. Then another angel came out of the temple in heaven, who also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel came from the altar, who was in charge of the fire, and cried out in a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, "Use your sharp sickle and cut the clusters from the earth's vines, for its grapes are ripe." So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and cut the earth's vintage. He threw it into the great winepress of God's fury. If God were to reap our land today, if God were to reap our lives today, what would he find? If he took the fruit of our lives and our labors, what would he find? Would it be the good fruit that leads to eternal life, or the bad fruit that destroys us? It's worth really looking at. I'm trying to give you a number of different angles to look at the question of faith, the question of following the Lord, question of being obedient to him, putting him first in our lives. The quote that I read last week from Sister Ruth Burroughs can also be found in my book, More of the Holy Spirit. It's so important that we give way in our lives. If you really want to be holy, give way to putting Christ in the center of your life and displacing yourself at least into second place. Because God will take care of you. When you put him first, God takes care of you. You get better taken care of than you can take care of yourself. So it's a no-lose deal, if you put it in those terms. But our faith needs to grow. So I encourage you to read. Psalm 96 tells us, "The Lord comes to judge the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is king. He has made the world firm, not to be moved. He governs the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. That includes us. Let the sea and what fills it resound. Let the plains be joyful and all that is in them. Then shall the trees of the forest exult before the Lord, for he comes to rule the earth. He shall rule the world with justice and the peoples with his constancy. We've just proclaimed him king in all our churches. Is he king this past Sunday? Is he king of your life? In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 5 to 11. While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." See, Jesus was trying to tell them what was going to happen, but it didn't make any sense to them. And instead of saying, "Lord, we do not understand, will you help us?" most of the time they just dismissed it and walked away. How many times do we do that? "Oh, I can't understand that. I can't figure that out. I don't know what God's saying." And we walk away instead of saying, "Lord, help me," and turning to someone who knows the answer and saying, "Please help me." That's called humility, and it bears tremendous fruit. So they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? When will everything fall apart, where there will not be one stone left upon another? Teacher, when will this happen, and what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you do not deceive, for many will come in my name saying, 'I am he.'" In other words, many will come saying, "I'm the Messiah. The time has come. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky." Jesus was trying to warn them. "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." In other words, utter destruction. Do you know that not very long after, some years after he said this, Jerusalem was destroyed and there was not a stone left upon a stone? He warned them. But they chose to follow their own lights. They chose to follow their own self-appointed leaders. They chose to follow anything but God. Where are you? And where am I? Am I willing to put him first, really first, in my life? Can I displace myself and put him first? That's when real faith begins to grow. Catherine of Siena, speaking about the end times, as the book of Revelation speaks of, she said this, "But you will say to me, 'When I am experiencing so much pain and darkness and struggle, I can see nothing but desperation. I have no apparent grounds for hope at all, so miserable do I seem.'" Isn't that true? Don't give me any more bad news. I have enough bad news. You're not seeing that God is asking something of you because he wants to take something from you so that he can give you what you most want: eternal life, good life. St. Catherine says, "But you will say to me," speaking of the Lord, "'When I am experiencing so much pain and darkness and struggle, I can see nothing but desperation. I have no apparent grounds for hope at all. So miserable do I seem.' I answer you, my daughter," now this is Catherine, "'that if you search, you will find God in your goodwill. Even though you may be experiencing a good deal of struggle, you don't for all that feel your will deprived of wanting God. In fact, this is why you are sad and suffering, because you are afraid of offending God. So struggle ought to make you exultantly happy, not desperate, when you see that God sustains your goodwill and gives you displeasure over deadly sin. In other words, God's going to answer your prayer. He is. Just because things are difficult doesn't mean God doesn't hear you. She writes, I recall hearing once that gentle first truth said the same to a servant of God when she was experiencing severe suffering and temptations. Among other things, she was feeling so desperate that the devil said to her, what will you do since you will spend your whole life in this sort of pain and then have hell besides? That's what the enemy does, brothers and sisters. That's how he tries to work with us. And summarized right there in that sentence, what will you do since you will spend your whole life in this sort of pain? I mean, this is not going to change. This life is terrible. And then you're going to go to hell. Anyway, so why don't you just find pleasure wherever you can find it? That's what the devil says to us. It's not God's promise, and it's not God's plan. Yes, there's hardship. There's hardship in attaining anything that's good. But if we allow that hardship to draw us closer and closer to Him instead of pushing us away, then we're going to know a peace that the world cannot give, even in this life, even in the midst of struggles. Among other things, she was feeling so desperate that the devil said to her, what will you do since you will spend your whole life in this sort of pain, and then if hell besides? And to this, she responded fearlessly with a brave heart and a holy contempt for herself. I don't shrink from pain, for I have chosen suffering as my refreshment. Now that's a saint. I'm not there yet. So I understand if you say I'm not there yet, but are you willing not to shrink from the Lord, even though the thing you want most is to be free of pain and suffering? Choose Him, even in the midst of the pain and suffering, and He will bring you out of it in a way that will give you life. She responded fearlessly with a brave heart and a holy contempt for herself. I don't shrink from pain, for I have chosen suffering as my refreshment. And if God should give me hell in the end, that will not keep me from serving my Creator, since I am the one who deserves to live in hell because I have offended gentle first truth, gentle God. So if God should give me hell, He will be doing me no injustice at all because I am His. Now, only a saint could talk like that. Really, only a saint could talk like that. But she's essentially saying, I choose Him, and whatever He allows in my life, I accept. I choose Him. I put Him in first place. Brothers and sisters, that's how saints are made. And right now, I think the first step is not Catherine's step, though I read it to you because you can see the faith that she had. I think the first step is to say, Lord, I don't know how to change my life, so I give it to You. Will You lead me? Will You lead me? And then trust Him, even in the midst of pain. Trust Him, and you will see His glory. God bless you. I have been speaking a great deal recently about faith. I have a booklet entitled Faith More Precious Than Gold that I would like to offer you free if you would call our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. You can also request it by going to our website, renewalministries.net. Perhaps it would be a gift that you would like to give this Christmas. I urge you to read Faith More Precious Than Gold.